Hello, this is Amit Pawa. I'm an assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. I applied for the AIM Innovation Seed Grant to help fund a high-value care standardized patient. When I saw the original call for proposal, I wanted to somehow find a way to apply it to our new course for first-year medical students at Johns Hopkins. The deans of undergraduate medical education had just named me course director of a first-year course dedicated to high-value care. Based on my review of the literature, this had not been done at any place in the United States, or there was no reporting of any place that had been done. I was also taking a curriculum development class, which is part of our faculty development, to help develop this course. Since my budget was small, I was looking for very low-cost educational strategies, such as lecture, small group, or reflection sessions. I had read a lot about how standardized patients can help integrate in various curricula to help learners better perform in the clinical environment. However, this educational strategy seemed like it could not be done with my small budget. When I heard about the proposal, I applied. The hard part about any educational projects is that you have to find some type of outcome. We had a hard time looking at an outcome with first-year medical students. I therefore met with my mentor, Dr. Danelle Kea, who's one of the internal medicine clerkship directors and has used standardized patients throughout the curricula at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. We thought, at the first year level, the most that we could hope for in outcomes was attitudes. And it so happened that in environments where there is more high-value care, physicians are more likely to think that they are responsible for controlling costs. We then looked to see if there were any standardized scales for assessing student attitudes towards high-value care. Unfortunately, there had not been any published to date, but we then asked Valerie Lang, who had been using this, or using a attitudinal scale, to measure the effectiveness of a curricula she was studying at her institution as well as at other institutions. This scale that she had validated was based off an older scale used by physicians about 20 to 30 years ago. Now that we had a proposed intervention, a proposed control group, and a proposed outcome, we were able to best design our study. We thus hypothesized that those students who underwent the standardized patient encounter as opposed to the reflection group encounter were more likely to have an attitude or rate as higher that physicians were responsible for controlling costs of care. I then used my curriculum development class to help me develop best the methods for conducting the study. We thought the best way to do it was randomize students to one of two groups, then have them half the group undergo the standardized patient encounter and half undergo the reflection encounter. The reflection session was essentially them discussing with a group of faculty instances where they noticed low value care practices, period. We felt that their interaction with a patient would have them more likely be increase their feelings about physicians controlling cost of care than in a small group talking about how systems can control cost of health care. As I said before, this study was very difficult to design in that educational studies often have very hard outcomes to determine. And we were also dealing with fourth year medical students in which there are not many outcomes we can look at besides them rating the experience as a positive one, and some pre- and post-test knowledge changes. This also required the help of experienced curriculum developers. We are fortunate at Johns Hopkins to have the authors of curriculum development and medical education develop our faculty here. This also required strong mentorship by key faculty within the School of Medicine, and that included Dr. Kea, who was able to help us design a standardized patient that was developmentally appropriate for a first-year medical student. It then also required the support of our educational leaders, who were willing to allow us to perform experimental curriculum on our students. And though lastly, we haven't undertaken this part, it also requires the help of good statisticians. So far, we've only been able to do means of a Likert scale and would like to do ordinal logistic regression to determine odds ratios for differences in how they answered the attitudinal questions. Thank you for your time and good luck on applying for the grant, and hopefully some of the information here will help you in your quest to obtain funding for your future education projects.